This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Trump administration has plans for big tax cuts and maybe a Wall Street wild card. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is moving ahead and talking up the Trump administration's business plans. High on the priority list is a massive tax cut. The team is also taking a look at a very unusual idea. Let's talk about all that with our regular guest, Diane Swonk at DS Economics. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So Mnuchin said he wants a tax overhaul done by August, which is not actually that long if we think of it in Washington time. What kind of plan might actually become reality, and what would the impact on the economy be potentially?
Well, the first issue is sequencing and how fast can it actually get done, and that is likely to take a lot longer than August because we're talking about tax reform versus tax cuts. Everybody benefits from tax reform. They call it revenue neutral. That means they don't want to generate a lot of debt, and if they really believe that, it means winners and losers, and that's really difficult to get done, and it would help clarify and clean up our tax policies. We want that to be done, but it also wouldn't stimulate the economy very much. In fact, there's been a lot of work done on looking at all the different tax proposals that are in Congress at the moment, most notably the Ryan GOP plan, and it doesn't add much to the U.S. economy. So these ideas that it would juice growth and be revenue neutral, but at the same time they need to take on a lot of debt to do it, doesn't all add up. There's sort of some math problems and challenges in this equation.
Now, Mnuchin also said on CNBC a few minutes ago that Treasury is considering the idea of ultra-long bonds, 50 years, 100 years. That's not something America does right now. A handful of countries have. Explain the argument for a century bond or any kind of super long duration bond.
Well, you usually go into long bonds when you actually want to issue a lot of debt, and we already are in a lot of debt. It's something actually we tried to do the opposite of in the 1990s. We cut back on the maturity of the bonds that we were issuing in order to go shorter because we were actually generating surpluses at one point in time on a yearly basis, if not on the debt. And I think that's something very important to be thinking about is, are we talking about a government that wants to signal it's going to go into a lot more debt from record high debt levels? Or are we talking about fiscal reform that's more inclusive and looking at sustainability over the long haul?
Okay, Diane Swonk at DS Economics. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
We've got new numbers today from the controversial and groundbreaking soda tax in Philadelphia. The mayor says it raised $5.7 million in January, more than double the city's forecast. Retailers and beverage companies have claimed double-digit drops in soda sales following the 1.5 cents per ounce tax. High school vocational training has had somewhat of an image problem. Some people see it as a dead-end track, but these days, about half of today's jobs need people with so-called middle skills. That is, more than a high school diploma, but less than a bachelor's degree. So high school vocational training is getting something of a reboot. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR, Amy Scott explains.
17-year-old Tim DiAcosta shows off a state-of-the-art computer numerical control, or CNC, machine at the Berks Career and Technology Center in Reading, Pennsylvania. He sets a blank metal plate inside the machine, types in some codes, and shuts the double doors to watch the piece transform.
It's going to bring this tool down, which is called a face mill, and it's going to take the material off the top of the part.
This is modern-day VoTech. DiAcosta spends his mornings here learning advanced manufacturing skills, then rides the bus to high school for English and math in the afternoons. He learned about machining, basically the process of cutting raw material into a finished part, from a buddy of his dad's.
He's kind of like a grandfather to me. I got to see what he gets to do and stuff, and I just really liked it. I mean, You can make a lot of neat stuff.
From custom motorcycle parts to the molds used to make plastic ice cube trays. Machining is also one of the top so-called opportunity occupations in the Reading area. Those are jobs with above-average pay for workers without bachelor's degrees. A skilled machinist in the area can make well over $20 an hour.
There's a lot of guys like my dad's buddy that are in their 60s and 70s that are getting out of it. And there's not enough of us younger generation kids to go into it.
When DeAcosta graduates next year, he'll have several industry certifications. Dave Schreibeck owns a small machine shop called DWS Technologies. He says those skills are in such high demand, employers are outbidding each other for workers.
So we've gone to the mindset, we need to try and get these kids out of school, bring them in while they're young, and try and nurture them into the positions that we need.
But despite the demand, just 38 students are enrolled in the machining program. The school would like to have twice that many. The nearby Reading Muhlenberg Career and Technology Center is under-enrolled, too. Work-based learning coordinator Terry Baller says it's not just the students who have to be convinced.
Because a lot of the parents are stuck in that mindset where, well, if my child doesn't go to a four-year college, then I must be a failure. So we're trying to also educate parents and show them that there's good money to be made and there are good jobs out there.
Without the debt that often comes with a college degree. In Reading, Pennsylvania, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, actors want legal protection to keep their age a secret, but a court says not so fast. A judge is blocking a California law that would have allowed entertainers to force the website IMDb to take ages off their bios. It was signed into law as a way of preventing age discrimination. IMDb sued. The court took its side, saying the law flies in the face of the First Amendment. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.